Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
It's great to welcome each one of you here, and we're glad you're here, and particularly if you're visiting with us, if you've never been to OCC before, it's so good to have you with us. For those who don't know you, know me, my name's Mike Bells, and one of the pastors here, and so it's a real delight to welcome you. We've heard the Christmas story from a couple of perspectives tonight, from the children telling the story, from the slightly distorted version of the donkey telling the story and making it all about him. And we sometimes do that, don't we? We make the story about us rather than about who he is. We could read the gospel story from the birth story of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew or from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke's version is where Linus recites the story in Charlie Brown's Christmas. And we've heard that so many times. But I want to take us to the Gospel of John this morning. It takes a different perspective, maybe a little bit more theological. It's not as quite as descriptive, but I believe it speaks some great truths to us. So I want to read from the opening of John chapter 1, and I'm using a mixture of translations in this as I read. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. One translation says, the Word lived among us. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. It says the Word became flesh, and that's Jesus, the Word of God. It's God manifesting Himself, God's revelation of who He is in the person of Jesus. And Jesus is that Word, and that light has always been shining, even before He became flesh, because God loves everyone and has always been wanting to show as much of His love to people as He possibly can. And I want to unpack that a little bit in just a moment. Does anyone ever find that around Christmas time you tend to get a little blue, or maybe just a little bit more than nostalgic, or maybe some of you are like that all the time. But there's something around Christmas that creates these feelings of nostalgia, and sometimes for a feeling of nostalgia for something that wasn't even there. It doesn't take much to take us back, does it? It could be a song, or one of those Christmas movies that you watch every year, or the smells of Christmas baking, or hearing the Christmas story again. For some, it has a bittersweet quality to it. Some of you have lost loved ones over this last year. We got a call last night that a cousin of Janice passed away. For others, the magic and the innocence of childhood have been gone for many years. And so there's this bittersweet quality as we look back. We have this nostalgic feeling. But I wonder, when we hear the Christmas story, if there's not something even deeper going on, even deeper than nostalgia. It seems like every time the Christmas story is read, there's something that taps into the deepest feelings, the deepest longings, those deep expectations, those hopes and dreams of our heart that resonates at a really deep level. And I think that's why for some, the hearing the story of the birth of Jesus, thinking about God becoming a human being, being born a baby, dying on a cross to save us, it feels like a long forgotten dream. John tells us that before the Word ever became incarnate, before Jesus was born, the Word was shining. There hasn't been a time in history where God hasn't been seeking to shine His light into our world. In fact, Paul says in Acts chapter 17 that from the very beginning, God has been working in every human heart. God's been trying to point people, draw people back to Himself. You see, Jesus fulfills those hopes, those dreams, those longings that we have that are so deep. Because Jesus really is the answer. He really is the fulfillment of all those hopes and dreams that we have. In some senses, the Christmas story is the greatest love story ever told. It's the greatest love story that could possibly be told. Because it's the story of God who created the entire universe, willing to sacrifice everything for us. You know, you can tell the depth of love by how much a lover is willing to sacrifice for their beloved. And so a story like O. Henry's The Gift of the Magi, where a young couple, one cuts off her long hair in order to buy a watch for her husband, and he sells his watch in order to buy a comb for his wife. And, you know, it's a deep, it's a meaningful love story. But what about a great and a mighty king willing to forsake his entire kingdom and all of his wealth and all of his power and give it all up because he loved a peasant girl? That's powerful. It's beautiful. It's poignant because the sacrifice is so great. And if we understand it by that criteria, the Christmas story is the greatest love story ever because it's a story of a God who created everything, who had everything, and sets aside all of the benefits, all of the privileges of heaven. And he comes down and takes up his residency here. And he dies a death on the cross, sacrifices everything for a people who wanted nothing to do with him. It's the greatest love story ever told. Sometimes I think, though, when we hear the Christmas story, we get sort of dulled to it because we've heard it so many times. And we miss its radical, its incredible, shocking beauty. So I want us to slow down for a couple of minutes and hear it for the first time. So think about our universe for a moment. I don't know whether you've ever been far enough away that you're away from all light distraction. A month ago, I was in the desert in Ethiopia. The nearest lights were several hundred kilometers away. And we're sleeping out in the desert and just looking up at the glories of the heavens. And more stars than I have ever seen. And then as we look up at the stars, realize that those aren't just stars. Many of those dots are actually galaxies. And in those galaxies are 200 or 300 or 400 billion stars. And so we're looking at huge array of galaxies and stars, uncountable. And think about this. You know, we know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second, and nothing travels faster than that. And those dots, those little bits of light up there that are 400 billion stars, there are hundreds and thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of light years away. They seem so small because they're so far away. You know, Mars has been in the news quite a bit recently. And if a manned space flight will take about either between 150 and 300 days to get from Earth to Mars, depending on the time of year. The Voyager spacecraft was launched in 1977. You know, more than 40 years ago, and it's just left now our solar system. And if it was going at the same rate of speed and was going in the right direction, it would take the next 80,000 years before it reached Alpha Centauri, which is the closest star to us other than our own sun. And it's only 4.2 light years away. It's an incredible universe. So someone has calculated that if you took the entire known universe, everything that we can see, everything that the Hubble telescope can see, everything that radio telescopes can see, and you reduced all of that distance down to the size of our planet, then the distance between us and Alpha Centauri would be the distance between the base and the tip of your thumb. And it would take you 80,000 years to travel that distance. So it's a huge universe. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the vastness of our universe points in the direction of the vastness and the majesty and the glory of the God who spoke it all into existence and who holds it all in existence. And part of what John is telling us in John 1 is that God spoke all of this into existence and he holds it all in existence. He holds this entire universe. And he holds every one of those stars, every one of those galaxies. He holds every planet that circles any one of those stars, and every rock on every one of those planets, and every atom that makes up every one of those rocks. And it's all held together by the God who speaks all of this into existence, and the vastness and the glory of this universe. And that just hints a little bit at the vastness and the gloriousness of our God. The magnitude, the size of how big he is, if we can use spatial language to describe the glory of God. It's unfathomable. There's no limits. We can't begin to comprehend it. But here's the thing. You look at all those trillions of galaxies, and one of them is this little galaxy called the Milky Way. It's an average-sized galaxy. And on the outer edge of that galaxy is one star. Not a particularly big star. It's our sun. And circling that sun is a little planet, our planet, planet Earth. And on that planet are these people who are in big trouble because they think God's out to get them. And they want to do things their own way. And they've sold themselves into captivity. But the God who created this universe, the God who created us, the God who holds it all together cares so much for us, so deeply for us. He loves us to the point where he gave up everything and came to this earth. Think about this. The God who created the entire universe became this little tiny baby, became one of us, took up residency here. Not only became a baby, but eventually he went to the cross. And he did that because that's what was needed to free us from oppression to the powers that were destroying us. And he did all that to reveal his so great love for us. His so great love. God couldn't have done more than he actually did. He couldn't have paid a higher price. He couldn't have made a greater sacrifice. He couldn't have crossed a greater distance than he actually did for us. And the extreme to which he was willing to go on our behalf reveals something of the depth and the perfection of how much he loves us. And you know, and that's what our hearts yearn for. That's what our hearts long for, that to know that we are loved by God. And maybe it's buried deep down in your heart. Maybe you've suppressed it. Maybe you've intentionally suppressed it because you've had so many disappointments in your life and you'd rather not expect or hope for anything and be surprised rather than look for something and be disappointed. But deep in your heart, it's there. There's that yearning, that longing in your heart to see the depths of God's love for you. Because that yearning is your homing device to call you home to him. And he's calling you, and he desperately wants to be in relationship with every one of us. Because he knows that in that relationship, in that yearning of our heart, our hopes and dreams find their fulfillment. We were created for him, and he's bringing that home for us. And so as we come to a time when we're going to light candles in just a moment, I want you to know this. You are loved by God. You are loved with a great love by your Creator that goes beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. That's the love you were made for. And he's calling you to that. He's calling you to that. He's giving you that. Wanting to demonstrate and show you the light of the world. To take up residency in you. In the same way that he's taken up residency on this earth as John describes it. And it's as easy as saying yes to him. Stop pretending and saying yes to him. Accepting him as Savior, as Lord. Turning over the reins of our life to him. It's simple, and yet it involves everything, doesn't it? It involves giving him our entire life. We may not feel anything when we first do that, as we surrender to him, but we learn to receive that light and learn to walk in that light and walk in that love. We discover that the yearnings, the longings, those deep desires of our heart get fulfilled. And we never feel fully at home in this universe until we find the Creator of this universe who's revealed in Jesus Christ. And so if you make that decision to follow, to welcome Him, and you can do that right now. You can do that in a couple of moments as we light candles. You can do it as we're singing the closing songs. You can do it as you're driving home. You can make that decision at any time. But you're going to need help to live that out. And so if you make that decision, I encourage you to come back next week and to get involved with other people who are walking with Jesus as we learn to walk this out and live this out. Folks, this is the incredible good news. This is the good news that Christmas is all about, that the God of this universe, the creator of heaven and earth, loves us that much. He's that kind of love. And it's no wonder then, as the kids said at the end of their video, this is the best night ever. Let's pray together. Father, we were dwelling in darkness, but You came. You came and brought Your great light. A light that fills the longings of our heart. Light that gives hope and meaning. And so, Father, I pray that this Christmas Eve, this time when we reflect on the birth of Jesus, the time when we reflect on the light of the world, that You would speak Your hope and Your joy and Your grace and Your forgiveness and Your life into us, that we may know that and be changed and transformed by that. And we pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.